back of the fellowship hall if you're able to check that out. And then we'll have our dinner and our presentation of the Bibles and then our slideshow. So if you're able to stick around, we'd love to have you stay. We parents are proud of our children, aren't we? Well, I tell you what, I'm a proud daddy. I had no idea the amount of pride that I would have in Kinley until she was finally born. And the older she gets, the more her personality develops. It's just so funny. She's just such a character. And, you know, many of you know, I talk about her all the time. You talk about your children all the time because they're your life. They're part of you. They're part of your heart and your soul. And we just get so proud of our children. I would dare say that of you parents in this room, you've never had a prouder moment than the moment in which your child decided to give their life to the Lord. Or maybe the moment in which your child decided to rededicate their life to the Lord. What about you Bible class teachers, all the countless lessons you've given to these young people, you camp counselors, all the sweat you've poured out at Gulf Coast Bible Camp and other places, you VBS coordinators, all the crazy ideas you've come up with and coordinating all these people to bring in all these efforts, you lads to leaders helpers, all the countless practices you have, all for the same purpose, so that one day when that child goes down into that water of baptism and they've given their life to the Lord, have you ever felt more proud for that child? What about you grandparents? Grandchildren are grand, aren't they? Because when they get a little fussy, you can send them home. You ever had a prouder moment than when your grandbaby decided to give their life to the Lord? You elders, when you see these young people and spiritual mentors, when you see these young people that you held as a baby, that you've watched grow up and grow up in a godly family, and they decide to make that faith their own, have you ever felt more proud for an individual that wasn't your own? I would dare say if we took a poll of every adult in this audience that we would say that we are so much more proud of you for deciding to give your life to the Lord than any trophy, any award, any scholarship, any grade, any service activity. It far outweighs that in our book. Well, the Apostle John talks about that in his third letter. 3 John, I invite you to turn over there. We're going to start in verse 2. He says in verse 2, 3 John, verse 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth." And then verse 4, which is the key to our lesson tonight, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." You see, John understood a principle that many of you have understood, that when you work with a group of people, when you minister to a group of people, when you grow up with a group of people and you've taught a group of people, that there's this bond that you share, that they almost become your children in the faith. If you've ever studied the Bible with someone and they obeyed the gospel, you felt this connection and this bond with them because you helped lead them to the Lord. Or if you've been that Bible class teacher or that camp counselor or the elders or a spiritual mentor and this young person has grown up and is walking in the truth, you feel like you've had a part of that and there's this bond that you share that they become your children in the faith, that you love them like they were your own. John understood that. Paul understood that. He referred to Timothy so many times as Timothy, my son in the faith. He even, in fact, refers to the entire Corinthian church in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians as his children in the faith. And so tonight, I bring this message to you seniors and to the entire church, but specifically you seniors, as one who for the last 2 years has had the privilege of working with you, traveling with you, laughing with you, crying with you, teaching you as you've taught me and all the great experiences that we've had. And I know if Ricky were standing in this pulpit, he would say the exact same thing, that we've built this bond. And that I, just like John and just like every other adult in this audience, wants nothing more than in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, to run across you and ask how you're doing and to hear you tell me spiritual things. And to hear that you're still involved walking in the truth and involved in God's kingdom and growing in your faith. And so tonight I want to give you four applications, 4 points that will help you and encourage you to continue walking in the truth. What you'll notice about these four applications is that this is a 4-point summary of your entire 7 years in our youth ministry and your entire time growing up here at Creekwood. These are lessons you've heard thousands of times because they are so important that we can't forget them. You know, it's been known for a long time that the college years are some of the most testing years to one's faith, isn't it? That there are so many distractions and temptations, and there's this newfound responsibility and this newfound freedom that all of a sudden mom and dad aren't there, and I've got to start making some pretty serious decisions. And thank goodness with technology, with texting and Facebook and Skype and the ability to drive hundreds of miles in a relatively short amount of time, we can still be there and be fairly close to one another. But as far as moving away from home, you're on your own. And who's going to be the one to make those spiritual decisions for you? So I want to give you 4 truths tonight that I want to remind you of so that you will continue to walk in the truth. Number one, determine today to stay faithful. If you got your Bible, I encourage you to flip over to Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, when I read this passage, what comes to my mind is a determination more so than a decision. And I think there's a pretty big difference there between being determined and making a decision. I'll give you an example. It's the difference between those who wake up every day and exercise and those who don't. I wake up every day and say, I'm going to exercise today. And I think about it for the next 10 seconds until I hit the snooze button and go back to sleep and say, well, I'm going to get that 30 minutes of sleep instead of 30 minutes of exercising. I made a decision, but I didn't stick to it because I wasn't determined. But for those who have that determination, it doesn't matter what is going on, they're willing to sacrifice that 30 minutes or an hour of sleep or 10 minutes or whatever they've decided to devote to exercising. There's a big difference between decision and determination. Determination says, I'm going for the next 24 hours to live my life for God. You know, when you start thinking about your entire life, and if you were to live the average lifespan of a human being and you're 17 or 18 years of age, and you start thinking about the next 60, 70, maybe even 80, 85 plus years, that's a long time, isn't it? But if I focus on just the next 24 hours, if I wake up in the morning and I say, today I'm going to be determined for this day to live for God. I can't control yesterday. I can't change what I did yesterday. And I can't control tomorrow. I'm going to worry about tomorrow. And so today I'm going to live my life for God for the next 24 hours. And I'm going to do that 24 hours at a time. Determination over decision. And it doesn't matter whether you are at Faulkner, Alabama, West Alabama, South Alabama, Samford, or whatever college you decide to go to, or whether you decide to go into the workforce. In order to have that determination, you've got to remember 2 things. Who and whose you are. Who are you? It's a question that Ricky Butts has asked you countless number of times that we've studied about before as well. One of the 4 major questions that you've got to answer in your lifetime. Who are you? What's your identity? Is your identity built in some group of people? Is it built in a sport? Is it built in a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Or are you in God? Is your identity found in Christ Jesus? And if that's the case, then you know who you are, and you'll always remember whose you are. And hopefully that understanding will cause you to be determined to stay faithful today. Number 2, stay connected to Jesus and His church. You know, one of the main reasons why so many fall away after graduating from high school is they get off to college and they quit going to church. And because of that, they've fallen away and they disconnected from Jesus and from the church. But Jesus said in John 15, 4 and 5, remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And listen to this next point. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to kind of tag team what David was talking about this morning and just rephrase that a little bit. Apart from Jesus, nothing matters. Apart from Jesus, no accomplishment, no material item, success story, no overwhelming accomplishment. None of that matters apart from Jesus. Because at the end of this life, what has it gained us? And so we've got to make sure, and you've got to make sure that you stay connected to Jesus and to His church. And how do you do that? Get involved in a campus ministry. Search out the local church there and seek to find if they have a campus ministry. And enjoy that. Get involved with teaching. Teach the little kids. Teach the teenagers. Go to camp. Get involved with Vacation Bible School. Get involved with the different activities and the fellowship opportunities that are going on to make sure that you keep that connection with the Lord and with His church. Decide every Saturday afternoon that you're going to be at Bible study and worship the following Sunday morning. Notice I said Bible study and worship the next Sunday morning. But you've got to decide on Saturday afternoon, not on Sunday morning. Because if you decide on Saturday afternoon, you're going to make sure that Saturday night, you're not wearing yourself out, and then Sunday morning, that temptation to hit that snooze button. And go ahead and set your alarm. Set your alarm for whatever time you've got to get up to be at Bible study and worship. Because you've got to be responsible. If you move away from home, mom and daddy aren't there to come knock on the door. Sweetie, it's time to get up. And what if your roommate has no spiritual interest? Who's going to have that determination to stay connected to the Lord and to His church? And don't for a second believe the devil's lie or the lie that the devil will use some people to tell you that it's all right if you miss. Because that's putting you on a trend, on a downhill slide of that disconnection coming faster and faster. Remember why you're here. Remember why you're here on this earth. Remember why you're going to college. Not only is it to get an education, but it's to glorify God every day in everything that you do. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do whatever you have to do to glorify Him. Truth number three, date and marry a Christian and surround yourself with other Christians. Now, I know Terry Cagle talked about this a little bit in the baccalaureate, and I know you're probably wore out of hearing people talk and of sitting, but just hold on just a little bit longer. Don't ever forget the analogy that it's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull somebody up. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived, don't be fooled, don't lie to yourself. Bad company corrupts good character. That is a proven fact. You will show the place that your spiritual life has in your life based off of the people that you surround yourself with. If your spiritual life has a high priority to you, you're going to do everything you can to surround yourself with godly people. But if your spiritual life doesn't mean much, then you're not really going to focus on it and are going to potentially surround yourselves with people that are going to pull you down. And one of the ways that we do that is we lie to ourselves and we say, oh, I'm going to have the better influence. I'm going to be the better person. But anytime an evil influence outnumbers a good influence, most of the time, you're going to get pulled down. And we talked about in teen class a couple of weeks ago. How do you combat that? How do you keep those relationships with those who may not be the best influence? Outnumber them. You bring that person into your godly circle. You outnumber that bad influence with positive influence at least 2-1, if not more than that. Not trying to beat them down, not trying to take the Bible and beat it over their head, but just making sure that they're not pulling you guys down, that you can come together to pull that person up. Because it's a whole lot harder, but it can be done. You know, one of the other reasons why so many fall away from the church is they choose to marry people that are not Christians. They choose to date people that are not Christians. And it becomes so difficult because if a couple is not united in their beliefs, then it gets really contentious there. It gets really difficult. And so challenge yourself to find a person to marry that is a believer, that does agree with what the Bible says, that wants to get you to heaven. One of the most beautiful portraits of a woman in the Bible is found in Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman. King Lemuel's mother says, "Here's the woman you want to find, son." And so I challenge you, ladies, be that woman. Study Proverbs 31. Take those attributes to heart and strive to be that type of woman. And you boys, you look for that woman. She's out there. God's getting her ready for you, but she may be a little bit hard to find. She's probably a little bit more difficult to find than the women that aren't trying to be Proverbs 31. Because if you believe the Matthew 7 principle, there are more people on the road to destruction than on the road to eternal life. So you may have to look a little bit harder. You may have to have a little bit higher standard. But if God's that important to you, you'll make sure you find that woman. And ladies, strive to be that woman. That's a beautiful woman listed in that passage. And the fourth one, I want you teens to help me with this one. Study and... Say it again. Study and, come on now, let the church hear you. Study and pray. It's a little joke we have in the youth group that anytime you don't know the answer to a question I might ask, that's the answer you give because it might just be right. How can you go wrong with saying study and pray, okay? But that's the right answer tonight. Isn't that awesome? You guys got it right. Study and pray. You got to nurture that relationship with the Lord. If you're not growing, then you're dying. You remember when we go to camp and we have that quiet time every day and in the first 30 minutes of the day, you wake up and you get your Bible and you get your notebook and you go find you a secluded spot and there you spend 30 minutes reading God's Word, spending some time in prayer, having some personal application. You remember how awesome that felt? You remember how renewed you felt every day? How much easier it was to focus on God for that next 24 hours and just how on fire you felt, and things sort of came into perspective, and life seemed to calm down a little bit. We got to have that time. We got to be selfish with that time. No, I've got to have my quiet time today. It shouldn't be something that we just do at camp, but that we need to do every day. That you block out that time, that sacred time, and you give that to God. You nurture that relationship with the Lord. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Very practical advice for young people. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's an interesting correlation here that the more we know of God's word, the less tempting sin becomes. Because we have a very adequate defense tool. Because God's word's in our heart. It's keeping things into perspective. Psalm 46:10, one of my favorite verses all in the Bible. Be still. I need to be reminded of that, don't you? I get so busy. And it's nice to come across Psalm 46:10. Eric, be still. Slow down. Calm down. Hush your mouth. I need to be told that all the time. Just close the trap. Just listen. Just spend time with God. Learn to enjoy the silence. Be still. Know that I'm God. In Psalm 26, 2 and 3, test me, O Lord, try me, examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. A couple of things as far as that studying and praying goes. Fill your heart with God's word. Slow down and take that time with Him. And examine your heart, examine your mind. Find, is it truly pleasing to God? You know, we're getting ready to send every one of you graduates out on the journey of your life. And I think it's safe to say that along with your parents, I myself am just a little bit nervous. Because I know what the world has to offer. Many of us have been there, done that. We got the t-shirt, the coffee mug, and the scars to prove it. That we know how vicious the world can be sometimes. And sometimes I wonder if that same feeling is how Jesus felt in John chapter 17, where he's spending some of the last time before he goes and is crucified, and he's given his apostles some very heartfelt teaching and application, almost some of his last words before he goes to the cross. And in his prayer to God for his apostles, He says, my prayer, verse 15, John 17, is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. You know, I wish so much that I could take every one of you, and for these next 4 to 6 years, just pick you up and put you in this little bubble. Maybe take you to a Gulf Coast Bible camp and bring in some great professors, you know, where we could get some private tutoring for you. And we'll bring you food out there and we'll have all these activities going on for you. And we'll make this an awesome experience. And whatever major you want to study in, we'll get those professors there. And for the next 4 to 6 years until you graduate, we'll leave you there. And then when you get done, we'll pick you back up. And then we'll set you back into the world ready to start a family and whatever your heart desires. But I know we can't. And Jesus said, that's not what we need to do. And so I, just like your parents, are going to trust and pray that the spiritual training you've received and this instruction that you've received, not only tonight, but over the years of your life, is enough. That it will constantly stick in your mind. What's the proverb? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I believe that passage teaches a very important principle, that when we teach those spiritual truths, it sticks in that mind. And if a child wanders, hopefully it's a dagger in the heart, that they never forget it. And so my prayer is that as you go wherever God's taking you, that you don't ever forget who he is, how good his love is. That you don't ever forget to nurture that relationship with him. That you never forget how important it is to surround yourselves with those Christian people. That you never forget how important it is to stay connected to the church and to your Lord. That determination to stay faithful to him hits you every day. But I'm also reminded of a saying that sometimes living in the trenches gets a little bit muddy and sometimes messy. That when we go out into the world, sometimes the world can rub off on us. I think a lot of us in this room could say that it happened. But something brought us back. I pray you never get that mud or that mess on you. I pray you never do. But if you do, I pray that teaching always stays in your mind and sticks in your heart. And it never leaves you. And that other influences in your life, whether it's your family, whether it's your church family, they're going to stay on you and stay on you until you return. Not in a nagging way, but in a loving, heartfelt, genuinely concerned to challenge you to turn your life around. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Been blessed this past month to receive some phone calls and get some invitations from some kids we've ministered to in other congregations and see their zeal and desire, and friends with them on Facebook. And even though I don't talk to them very often, to see that they're staying close to the Lord. I received a phone call a couple of months back to perform a wedding ceremony from a kid that was in my youth group that at the time he was a kid in my youth group, and now he's a very close friend. And what a privilege that is to see he and his bride united together in the Lord, and how exciting it'll be to see those two souls that love the Lord come together to start their walk with Christ together as a husband and wife. I pray that same thing for you, that we get that invitation in the mail one day of you and your spouse to be going to be united together in the Lord, both of you walking hand in hand with God and with one another. We want to hear you walking in the truth. We want to challenge you to continue to walk in the truth. But don't you ever forget that regardless of what happens in your life, you got a home here, a place of refuge, a place where you can come and receive some love, strength, and encouragement. And we're going to build you up as much as we can. And we know we're sending you out to see you again pretty soon. Don't you ever forget where your home is. It's here and it's with God. So I want to take just a minute, if you don't mind, and pray for each of our graduates. And then we'll conclude the lesson with the invitation. Would you bow with me? Father, your love is so amazing. You bless us so tremendously. Father, it's been such a privilege and a blessing to work with these young people the last 2 years and to watch them grow and to have the opportunity to teach them messages from your word and to see them challenged in their faith and to hear them asking these difficult soul-searching questions, all striving to grow closer to you. Father, trying to figure out this world, trying to figure out this life and their faith. Father, to find out if that faith is real and as they're developing a faith of their own that's been taught from their families and from this church, and Father, as they're striving to make it their own. And Father, we just pray for each graduate tonight that you bless them, that you keep them close to you in the places they go. And Father, I want to list them for our benefit so that we can remember who all we're praying for. For Christina, for Katie, for Hannah and Meredith and Brittany, and Trey and Tyler, and Colby and Brandon, and Brian and Ryan. And Father, we just pray a special blessing on these young people. Father, that this training they've received over the years of their life will stick in their mind. It'll stick in their heart, and it'll challenge them every day to live with you. Father, for the next 24 hours at a time, Father, keep them close to you. Pray that you'll surround them with godly people, that you'll introduce them to a godly spouse, that you allow them to continue to be servants in your kingdom. And Father, if there's anything that we can do, I just pray that we would be quick and ready to meet that need. And every time we see them, to strengthen and encourage them and continue to build them up in their faith. Father, we know that apart from your Son, nothing in this life matters. We can't do anything without Jesus. But Father, we know that through him, we can do anything you've called us to do. So Father, please bless these young people and those that are right behind them, getting ready to graduate next year or the following years after that. Help them to understand that these years are so crucial to building up their faith, to get ready to spiritually survive this war, this battle that's going on. Father, help us to never forget that you've already won the battle. You're just waiting for the end to come. Father, help us to be faithful to you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, if you're here and you feel the need to respond to the invitation, whether it be through being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or whether you need the prayers of this congregation and to recommit your life to the Lord, the invitation is always open. We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.